So if we can just take a moment quietly just to think about our desires right now. What do we desire in our relationship with Christ? What do we desire for our family? What do we desire in life in general? You know, if it's a car, a house, a bigger family, something for your mom, you know. Just take a minute and think about your biggest desire right now. All right, so with that desire being thought of, we also need to align our hearts. We need to focus if that desire lines up with the Word. If that something is in our heart, does it go along with what God has for us? I think that's another thing that we really need to think about is in God's love, there's no facade. There's no pretending. And we need to be honest with ourselves. I think a lot of the time we think we want something. Oh, that's so good, right? If we want a bad enough, we will justify that it doesn't align up with God's word. So we really need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be able to set free from our limitations. I feel like when we dream and desire about things, we're so limited. We're like, oh, I can't have that. Oh, that takes too much work. There's no way that I'll be able to achieve that successfully. I want to be able to burn with true desire. Can anybody relate?
Yes.
Yeah? All right. So we're going to go ahead and start in Jeremiah 29:13. If everybody would turn there. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When I read that scripture, I know that that's a promise. That's something that in my heart I can rely on. When people make promises, you know, like little elementary pinky promise, you think that your pinky and the other person's pinky cannot be broken. That is something that we have promised, something that is guaranteed. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." It doesn't say you might find him. It says you will. We have to seek him with all of our heart. So when we burn with passion over something, whether it be your career or your grandkids, when you think that the love and desire that you have to please them and to love on them, or even if we're talking about, you know, Kenny has recently taken up biking. He is super passionate about that. So of course he wants to spend time learning about it, practicing about it, and doing it. So we have to do it with all of our hearts. You're not going to be successful or good or fast or patient, whatever your desire that you're having right now. You're not going to succeed if it's just part of your heart, right? So I think the biggest question is God our desire? Is he our main desire and our main pursuit? When we think of the desires that we have for ourselves, is God in it? Is God first? Is God prioritized above all of our desires to come first? If I'm not willing to look to him and trust him with everything, can I really trust and depend that he will provide for what I'm asking for? I don't think that it can be a two-way street at all. I don't think that I can want and desire something so much and just expect somebody else to have that desire for me. You get what I'm saying? So if we're not super passionate and wanting it, how can we expect somebody else to be passionate and wanting it for us? So it's not a two-way street. And like most people, when I put my whole heart into something, you can't stop me. Who's like that? When you are so laser focused on whether it's a goal or something that you want to achieve, nobody can stop you, whether it's good or bad. You know, if it's something really bad for you, you know, so many people will be like, you might want to watch out for that. You might want to be careful for that. But you're just so laser focused on that. When I've invested a lot of time and effort into something, I am able to stay consistent and accountable to continue. Unfortunately, seeking God takes time, right? Just like a diet, there's no quick fix. It's not just like you can make one healthy change one time. right? And you're automatically focused on that diet. That doesn't happen. It's a long, drawn-out consistency that you have to go for. You have to make a better decision every single time than you did the time before. Like I said in our previously, in our daily life, we need to make changes daily. We need to change our mindset, our hearts, and our soul for our desire. Just then is when we can start desiring God. So ask again, are we even desiring God? When we thought about our one desire that we truly had for each other, well, for ourselves, is God first. This is called pursuit. The action of following is what pursuit means. So when we take action on something, are we timid or are we bold? Think of something that you've done recently. When you take action, when I think of action, it's super forceful, right? Like to win tug of war, do you slightly tug a little bit or are you very forceful with that? So to move mountains, do you think it's a small push, just a little bit? Like we're going to move the mountains just a little bit. I think that it's super strong. For our worship team, I know that you can relate. So the act of worship, do you whisper when you worship? Do you, oh God, you are awesome. Or do you shout it? Are you super, super passionate that what is God doing in your life? What has he been doing for you? What are you doing for him? I feel like you, right, worship team? Don't y'all shout it out? You're super excited, right? Okay. And so when we take action, it's to achieve an aim. When we set goals, we're not just blindingly, is that a word? Blindingly? We're not being blind to where we're shooting at, right? We have a massive bullseye of where we want to be, whether it's, you know, kids, house, car, babies, whatever it may be. Sorry, I used that. That's just a season of life I'm in. But we, in order to take action, we have to understand what the end goal is. We have to understand what we're aiming for. Otherwise, there's really no point of it whatsoever. So I can't help but task again, is our aim to desire God? Is that our biggest focal point, is to desire God as much as he desires us? We need to set our whole heart on him, set our time on him, and set our efforts on him. I'm guilty of it too. That's why I'm saying we, and we as the church. This verse is about Israel's Babylonian captivity and the soon-to-be restoration. This is the eternal promise, like I said before. So when he said that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, like I said before, it's an eternal promise. It's a promise that the Lord is always near to everybody who seeks him. Not just some people, to everybody, whoever makes that decision to seek him. As a consequence of sin, Israel was in captivity. And Jeremiah, in the scripture, he was trying to encourage them to prepare to stay in Babylon for a while. When I say a while, I mean like 70 years. So that's hard for me to grip when somebody's like, this is going to be your place, your stay for 70 years. That's a really long time, and that's hard to grasp. So you can already tell that this wasn't an easy thing for them to accept in their hearts, that they were going to be in one spot for 70 years. They didn't know if they were going to live to see it end, if they were going to have family to see it end. But they knew that they had to go ahead, get to work, create crops, right? When you settled in, even if it's a home for 15 years, you unpack your dishes, you know, the whole nine yards. So they had to develop crops. They had to make sure that they had shelter, to make sure that they had everything it needed for safety. So God has a plan for his people, though, for good and not for harm. So already you can see that he desires, right? He desires to give the best. He desires to have good things, and goodness is overflowing for us. He has plans for even us, promises for us. It's pretty much everything that's around us. His plans he had made for them was to prosper and give them a secure future. Who likes security, right? Everybody. And it's so neat that he wants them to prosper and have a secure future, that that was the two main desires that God had for this group. He also had great hope. But when they separated, they were not supposed to forget the Lord. That's a super big thing. As their journey is going, they were specifically told, do not forget me. Okay. So they were supposed to continue trusting him. They were supposed to remain focused. They were supposed to remain consistent. And they were supposed to lead their children to do the same thing as well. Right? 70 years, you're going to have kids or family. So they were told to set this standard. This is a big standard for us to lead, to follow, and to trust in him, period. Prosper means to flourish physically, grow strong and healthy. That's one of his desires for them and us, is to flourish physically and grow strong and healthy. Also to succeed financially. It's another version or another description of what prosper means. When I think of secure future, it means to feel confident that your future will continue, that it won't fail, and your future will not be lost. Who wants a lost future? No. I definitely don't. Unfortunately, I'm somewhat of a control freak, so I like to know when I'm going, what's going to be there, who I'm taking. I want that future and that trip, whatever I may do, I don't want it to fail, and I definitely don't want anything to be lost or confused. Great hope is one another of the promises that he made. And great hope means to be confident that it will happen. So not second guessing yourself, not knowing if it will happen, not thinking, okay, well, maybe it would be great if it would happen. No, great hope is that promise that he gave them, to be confident that it will happen. I said it will happen. It will happen. So this is an encouraging promise they were given, and we are too. Isn't that great to think about? That whatever they were promised, that promise has been given to us because we are his kids as well. God would never be lost or hidden, but we must search diligently for the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. So God rescued them at the appointed time, not before, not after, but at the exact time that he said that he would rescue them. Just like he said he would. Do you think anybody doubted that? Probably. I'm asking y'all, seriously, right? So how can you put your full trust in somebody that you can't really know? You know, when we make that pinky promise, like I was saying before, a lot of times those pinky promises are broken, right? And that breaks our trust from that person. And it really hardens our hearts sometimes for that pinky promise, because we know that they have said they would do it. They said at a certain time, we expected them to show up and they didn't. So for us, it's super incredible that he rescued them at the exact appointed time that he said he would. That builds trust. We always tell Olivia and Sophia that trust is built by doing the right thing. So when they have a choice, their choice is to do the right thing, no matter who's watching, what they're doing. That's how you build trust. Correct? So through the story, you can see that they desired God because they obeyed God. They trusted God. God was at their top priority. God was at their biggest desire to achieve this. For a while, right? 70 years. That's a while. For a while, and they were given what God had promised. So they continued that. They stuck with it. And in the end, they were given their biggest desire. See how this is more relational? It's not just give and take, but it's definitely more relational. If we trust them and believe in them and love in them, just like your spouse, if you're married, you rely on them. There's no question, no doubt in your head. I trust you. I rely on you, period. So I want God to instill in my heart a desire without limitations, like I said before. I don't want there to be, I do this, you do that type deal. I want there to be no limitations. All my life, I know we were singing that, all my life, he has been faithful
and will continue to be faithful. I'm about to say something that really like struck me, and I'll say it again. So God wants our desires for us more than we want them. You know how earlier I was saying that if we can't really desire or show that passion towards something, how can we expect others show the same passion? Well, that does not apply to God whatsoever. He has our biggest desire that we have, whatever you thought about, I know we have a long list, but our biggest desire he has for us more than we can even express how big our desires are. And so when I was thinking that, when that was being said to me through prayer, I broke down in tears because that's crazy. I don't even know. I'm sorry, babe. But, you know, when I think of Kenny and I's marriage often, I'm like, yeah, I want you to win that race. That's cool. But I don't want you to do this, this, and this to prepare for the race. Right? So like already I'm putting limitations on that. Correct? Already I'm saying, I want you to be super successful, but this is pretty inconvenient for me. So can you do both? Can you be successful, but not at the same time? And so Kenny's desire is biking, and that needs to be my desire too. Not for me, bike, absolutely not. But for him, we are one. God has called us when we got married. That was a promise that we were to make to each other, that his desires are my desires. My desires are his desires. They have to line up. Correct? Yes? So when I thought of that and I was pouring tears when, you know, God wants our desires more, I was like, that's definitely what we're supposed to be called for and to be doing in our marriage. And that's so hard when we think of flesh. How can we desire something for somebody when we really don't have a passion for it? Right? But that does not matter whatsoever when we're talking about God. We're supposed to be Christ-like. So there you go. So we're called to do that. He is so eager to give us our desires, just like parents to young kids. We're so eager to like wake up Christmas morning and like we got them tons of stuff and you can't wait to see, you know, what they got. You know, you already know, and you already know it's going to be a long drawn out process. Like we're going to have to put the kitchen together and, you know, so it takes out the excitement. But God wants to give us our desires just like parents want to give Christmas or birthday gifts. So the main purpose of gifts is to bring joy, at least what I think. I'm really not a gift person, but when I think of giving a gift, giving a birthday gift, I want to see their face light up. I want them to know that I was thinking about them for whatever gift that I was giving. And so that's just how God sees it. He wants to give us those desires. But if you're not willing to open your hands and take the gift that he's giving us, how can he see our joy? How can what he wants to give us and what we desire, how can we be happy about that if we're not even accepting that, right? That's pretty hard. So, but often we are way too guarded to walk into our desires. There's plenty of things that cause us to be super guarded, right? Insecurities, self-esteem, doubt, you know. So we can think that we desire whatever you were thinking when I asked you. We can think that we're not strong enough, we're not good enough, we're not fast enough, we're not equipped, we don't have financial, you know, not going into that. But period, we are just way too guarded for our desires. Somewhere along the line, somebody told us that it's not okay to dream. And that's pretty messed up, right? So I really want to retrain our brain to think that it is okay to dream. I was telling Jane that the title of this message was Sleeping or Dreaming. And I think that that's pretty important because I don't know much about sleep and REM cycles and all that, but I can guarantee you can sleep, but you can also dream. And I would always like to have, you know, dreams. I love dreams. God speaks to us in dreams. That's one another of his promises. So just to be alert in what's going on with your dream, I think is super important too. So my biggest question is, do you have your hands open or closed, right? When God wants to give this gift to you. When you have such a great desire and he wants to supply that to you, we really have to check our postures. And I'm bad for this too. Like I said, because of self-doubt, you know, you think of way too many things in your head that could prevent you from getting God's biggest desire for you. He desires to give us everything that he has prepared for us. He desires to give us only good. How crazy is that, Like, it's in scripture. It's in songs. There is no scripture that you'll ever see that says God wants to give us mediocre or God wants to give us just enough. He wants to give good and only good. And that's another promise that we can rely on. He gives grace and glory. I mean, there's so many gifts that he's giving, right? Are we openly, with open hands, accepting grace? Or are we beating ourselves up? Are we openly accepting glory? So as he's doing that, what is our posture? Like I said before, open or closed hands? We're going to turn to a new scripture, Deuteronomy 1. And I'm just going to paraphrase like 20 through 36. But if you want accountability, you can always read the scripture. Jane's going to post it. So here Moses was learning. He was listening. He was obeying God. In this chapter, they were going through the wilderness out of Egypt. They finally made it to Amorite Hill. Am I saying that right, Ronnie?
That sounds right, yeah.
All right. So that's the hill they made it to, is Amorite Hill. And that land, that Amorite Hill, was what God was giving to them. Here's a gift. I love my children. This is for you. So Moses said, look, God has placed this land as a gift before you. Go ahead, take it now. God has promised it to you. Do not be afraid and do not lose heart. So I'm going to read it again. I guess I can do this one. Yeah. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And I just paraphrased it. Don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Right? All the encouraging things that so many people tell us to do. God told us to do that. So go ahead and take it. Like I said before, taking is an action. What is an action? I'm going to go back. Let's see. Thought I defined action, but anywho. Action is very forceful, right? Like I said with the mountains, like we're going to move mountains. Are we going to slowly nudge it or are we going to be super forceful? So he said, go ahead and take it. I think so many times I teach my kids like manners, you need to ask for it nicely. You know, that does not apply here, right? Take it. He has created it for us. He is giving it to us. Go ahead and take it. It's an action like we've seen before. It's super bold, and we have to be bold with open hands, right? Closed hands or open?
Open.
Open. Yes. So the posture of these people is so important. So God was giving them a whole land, right? He has promised them this piece of land. So the posture of people is very important. He said, do not be afraid. That's like number one when you're accepting something that somebody gave you. You know, so often we are so fearful, like, how will they feel if I take it? You know, like we're so polite about it. And so he said, do not be afraid. So don't shy away. Don't close your hands. Don't be nervous. Don't be filled with fear or doubt. He has told you to take it, so you better do what he's asking you to do. But then they went to Moses, this group of men that got the land. They went to Moses, and they went to Moses saying, let's send out men to scout land. Let's get a report on the best route to take and what kind of towns to expect. So already, unfortunately, like us, they're already tiptoeing and walking on eggshells and really trying to be, I guess it could be a good thing. They're trying to be mindful of what God has given them, right? We want to make sure that this is a really good land, that it's going to benefit us. I'm sorry, when God gives us something, we need to open hands, take it without question, correct?
Yeah, he already said it was a good land.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Ronnie. And so after that, we're in verse 23 through 25. They set out and came back saying, it is good land. Imagine that, right? After God had already told them that this is really, really awesome land. This is for you. And remember, I only give you good. I don't give you mediocre. I'm not asking you to settle for less. I'm giving you the best that I have currently right now. So, and they took their hands, some of the fruit of the land, and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is good land that the Lord our God is giving. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. So in 26 through 33, Moses remembers the unbelieving rejection of the promised land that had happened previously in the book of Numbers. And so he is already remembering the unbelief rejection of the promised land through he pleading with them to take the land in faith. That's what we're called to do when God is giving us something, like I said before. We're supposed to take it in faith and relying on the sole thing that it is good. That's all we have to believe to take that. So remember, he said, do not be afraid. Nevertheless, despite of all of that, they're still saying, we don't believe in God. When he says that he will enable to overcome the enemies of the land and to possess it. That's very harsh, right? And I never want to be that person that says that, to be honest. Despite all of that, all of what we just read about how good this land is and how God wants to bless us so perfectly, they said, we still don't believe God when he says that he wants to enable to overcome the enemies of the land and to possess it. So enable to overcome the enemies, when I think of that, when we are desiring, he has already went before us. That's part of it. So enable to overcome, God always steps in and overcomes whatever we have to face when we're getting our desires, when he's given those to us. Yes, it might be a really long bike ride, right? He's already went in before us to make it not necessarily convenient, but to make sure you are safe, you are secure, no accidents in front of you, no scraped knees, hurt, whatever it is with biking. I'm sorry, guys. I know I'm like ruining it, but I'm trying to relate to them because all of my stories are complete mom. And so he's already going before us. So if I think of there's tons of things that I could think of when he went before me. If you have a test, right? I don't think that there's going to be, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm really trying to, without being total mom mode. So you've heard of like car accidents happening on the way to work or, so you've been running behind all morning and you left 10 minutes later, right? That kind of thing. He's already going before you for your biggest desires, going before you, running the race, that type deal. So whatever we are desiring, he's already went before us to help us along with that. Isn't that exactly what Satan wants? To put doubt into us, even though we know this is something that God has promised us. This happened back in Numbers. Is it 13 of the promised land? So this whole scenario had already happened prior as well. So I think that everybody wants to be great until it takes time to do what greatness requires. I'm going to say that again. Everyone wants to be great until it's time to do what greatness requires. What a terrible testimony. Despite the fact that God's word is true, we won't trust him for great things in the future. Don't you read that again? Like that really hit me when I was writing it down. Despite the fact that God's word is true, we won't trust him for great things in the future, even though we know that God never lies. He's never setting us up. So they wouldn't go up. Like I said, here's this awesome land and they just wouldn't go up. Lame. They rebelled and they didn't believe God, even though he had been faithful this whole entire time. In all the Bible, period. I mean, that's a lot of examples that you could use. And here they're just refusing. They closed their hands. Their hands are not open anymore. They backed down. They doubted. They said no. All of the things that we're called to not do. Do not be afraid. Do not doubt. All of that, that's exactly what they're doing here. So they were not persuaded of the love of God. That sucks, to be honest, if I can say that. Christians today also need to be persuaded by the love of God. Many believers are super hindered. What would it take to finally convince me that God really loves me? Let me think of all the situations that I really need to finally commit to him. So I need A, B, and C. I'm being sarcastic here, y'all. Okay. So to think of, I need A, B, and C before I know that God loves me. I need you to prove it, because somewhere, some way, somehow, your word is not enough. They were not persuaded of the love of God. We don't wait for God to give us everything we want before we love him, do we? Or should we? We should not. That is a very selfish demand of a short-sighted child. So when I think of that, of what I was just describing to you, that would exactly be like Olivia coming up to me and thinking that I do not love her because I did not let her have all the candy that she wanted last night. Right? That's an easy thing that I can link it to, because we are God's children. You didn't do this for me when I really wanted you to, so you must not care. Often we put that on friendships. They didn't help me move, so you do not care about me. You did not bring me dinner when I was sick, so you must not love me enough. We put limits on God. We put limits on his love. And that's why I said my current prayer is to have no limitations whatsoever. The Lord our God goes before you. He will fight for you. Just open your hands. Can everybody show me an open hand? Open hand. So do you want open hands or closed hands when somebody gives you something awesome? Please give it to me. Yes, it's my favorite. Yes, God wants to give us our favorites. And it's because we're so stubborn-hearted that we're not accepting our favorites that he has to give to us. Moses did his best to encourage this group of knuckleheads. He called them, he called on them to specifically remember God's past faithfulness. He straight up called them out. Tell me a time that God was not faithful. Tell me a time that he did not pull through. Tell me a time that he did not go above and beyond for you, for your needs and wants and desires. There are none, just so you know. So I think that Satan loves to make us forget what we should remember. I'm going to say that again. I think that Satan loves to make us forget what we really should remember. Like past victories, past miracles, past awesome doings of God that he has given to us, said to us. You know, who feels warm hugs during worship? Like, that should be enough. You get what I'm saying? Like, Satan really wants us to forget the warm and fuzzy and awesome moments that God creates for us and our family and our friends. Satan also loves to make us remember what we should forget. We should forget our past, where we came from. I know a lot of people like to bring that up for their testimony, and that is awesome. But I feel like there's some kind of importance that it is. We don't focus on the past. Love keeps a no record of wrong. We need to step out of that. Stop saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I don't have this. I can't do that. Stop focusing on that. But that's where Satan wants us. That's exactly the stronghold he has over us. He wants us to remember what we already should have forgotten. I want to tell you, and I know it's a mom story. I'm sorry, y'all. But I want to tell you of a really great friend of mine that happened this week. I always feel like when you're spending, and I know most can relate, but when you're spending more time in the Word, it feels like whatever that heartbeat is for that week, that so many things say, like for mine, it was desire. Like instantly, God laid that on my heart to talk about. And I felt like every situation this week was about desire, about getting desire, giving desire, you know, how awesome, you know, what was done, how did God go before them? In every situation this week, that's what it was about. Wow. So this week, I'm a nail tech, for people who don't know. So I constantly see about 8 to 10 girls a day, listening to them for at least an hour. And so we've become really close. I see them more than I've seen my, you know, extended family, the people who don't live with me. And so one of my clients, her name, and she was pregnant. She's been pregnant, had her first son 3 years ago. Beautiful. However, it was like a nervous situation, landed in the NICU for a while. So that just put her a bad taste in her mouth to have a kid, right? After that really sticky situation had happened, she was like, I really don't know if I want more kids, but the fear of like being stuck in the NICU again and not having my baby, you know. So she just wasn't comfortable with that whole situation. Fast forward 3 years, she's pregnant again. Yay. And so she's 37 weeks pregnant right now. If anybody doesn't know, baby is cooked at 40 weeks, pretty much, like ding, done, timer, right? So she had 3 more weeks to go, but the doctors were saying, you know, your blood pressure is looking a little iffy. We want to be cautious about preeclampsia, you know, all these medical things, which we really appreciate doctors having knowledge of, had told her the best bet for your health and the baby's health is go ahead and have an induction. Induction is where they pretty much put Pitocin, speed up the pregnancy. And so it's a very unnatural thing that's being done because your baby's not ready, ding. But to protect the mommy, they go ahead and intervene and do an induction. And so the whole time she came, of course, us women, we got to be looking fly before we go. It's not like the doctors are looking at our toes. She came and got a mani-pedi, and she was just crying, pouring tears. Elizabeth, I don't know what to do. I have to be induced tomorrow. You know, I kind of knew this along the way because I see her every 2 weeks. And she's like, I just don't know what to do. I don't feel comfortable with induction because her previous baby was about 5 pounds. And any baby under 6 pounds, you have to go through lots of like glucose testing and, you know, all that in the NICU. And she was like, I know if this baby is going to be birthed 3 weeks in advance. Mind you, the baby prior was like 40 weeks and still 5 pounds. So she was like, if my first baby was 5 pounds, there's no way that this baby can be born 3 weeks earlier and be over 5 pounds. There's just no way. And so she was crying, super nervous. But what else is she going to do? She desired to have a healthy baby. She also had to be mindful of her blood pressure and her health, because healthy mama, healthy baby. And previously, her pregnancy, like I said, had had her so fearful. So she went, here's the drum roll, the super awesome, to tie in with my message. So that night after her mani and pedi, and she was supposed to be induced the next morning, she started going into natural labor 3 weeks prior. Like most of the time, that's not a thing. Any mamas out there, that's not a thing. And so she started going into natural labor, and she showed up, you know, of course they had called, but they weren't fast enough to go to the hospital yet. And she went to the hospital 9 a.m. and, she had already had so much progress that they were like, all right, let's have this baby today. We don't have to do induction. We don't have to do anything. Let's just do it. You know, how exciting is that? I mean, I get super passionate because I'm a mom and I understand the process of labor, but for somebody who is so fearful and not wanting that to happen again and praying and finally just opening hands, saying it's out of my control. There's nothing I can do. We have to schedule an induction whatsoever to protect us. We're just going to let this happen, right? She fully just opened her hands, let God go before her, gave her promises of happy, healthy baby, right? So she relied on those things and naturally went into labor by herself. She let her desire be known, right? This was a huge conversation with us that we were having. She's like, I've cried and prayed and everybody knows that I don't want an induction, you know? So God does not want us to live in fear. He doesn't. Once again, do not be afraid. That type deal. And she said, you know, I completely just surrender right now. She prayed, she let go with open hands, and she believed that God would go before her and make a perfect labor, whatever that meant to her. And that's exactly what happened. She trusted in knowing, and she got the desire of her heart. Yay! 5 pounds, 8 ounces, and he passed glucose. So they're all happy, no NICU, they're home. She got to go home last night. So I was doing a happy dance, and I sent her a picture of my message where it said, insert just story. She was like, oh my gosh. So point blank. So consistency and faithfulness matters more than talents and resources. Correct? If you want to think about that story, Nakisha could have done all the things in her power and will. She could have bounced on a ball. She, you know, like all these natural things that you can put yourself into labor. But regardless, consistency and faithfulness matters more than any kind of talent, any kind of resource, anything that you can do in your own control. So do we have what it takes?
Ooh, wait, mic drop moment.
Do we have what it takes? So when I'm talking about desires and we thought about our desire that we had, do we have what it takes to first desire God, put that prioritize above everything else? And then do we also know exactly, let me see what my number two point was. Do you have open or closed hands? So do we have what it takes now? Do not devalue your desire. I know I've said that before, but do not devalue it when telling God. He already knows your heart anyways, right? So you can't lie to him. You can't, well, I kind of want this for me and my family just a little bit. No, we cannot devalue it. We cannot pretend like God doesn't know what he's talking about. And when you ask for it, you have to ask for exactly what you want. I think that God is a specific God. And I like detail, and I know Lydia loves detail, right? Every single moment we have, we want to be specific with what we want. We're not going to pout if we don't get it, right? Because it also has to align with his will for us. Do not cloud your desire. Once again, you have to be specific with what we want in our life. We have to be joyous to dream. So I speak that everybody can just start dreaming again. I know it's so stupid. Sometimes we cover our mouth when we're like, I want a new house. You know, like it's so, that takes so much time, whether you have to settle with, I don't even have to go into detail. You know the house drama. Sorry, Birgit. So I do call that you awake to dream. I really want us to focus on our desires and learn how to dream, learn how to be okay with saying what we want because we are worthy and he does have the best for us. Awake your love and desire again. Do not be scared to dream. Your desires are so important to Abba. He's our father, and most mommies and daddies love to give gifts to their kids. We do, right? So I just encourage that people will understand that what you're wanting and desiring in your life is super important to him. It's not small. It's not like, really? I have somebody over here that's wanting a house and you're really worried about like a ham sandwich, really? Like, you know, desires are different for people. We're in different stages of life. We are in different seasons with our walk with God, period. So like newer Christians probably do want the audible, the visual, you know, so ask for that. Ask, I want to be able to hear you. Like, I really want to hear you. That's not little to God. He wants to talk to you. Yes. And then like a season, I would call them seasoned Christians, right? Like they've been doing this for how long? 47 years. See? So like his desires are completely different for where him and Jenny want to be. Whether it's a walk in the Lord or what they desire in life right now. Maybe we're not focusing on a 401k, but they are, right? It's completely different. So don't think that your desire is super small. Don't think that it doesn't matter. We are worthy of great, and that's what God wants to give us. Take it. Remember I said take it. Super. Like, y'all get excited and take it because he is ready to bless. See ya. Yeah.